If he rented it to him in the Maisa Gashom, which means in the wintertime, and now let's assume this is the default is that we're talking about a 30-day rental, right? So now the 30 days are over, and it's the wintertime. So he's not allowed to evict him, so to speak, or ask him to leave any time between Sukkot and Pesach. Because, we'll see, he can't find another place to rent at that time of year. In the summertime, however, he could ask him to leave on 30 days' notice. That's as far as renting a residence is concerned in a regular city. However, in the villages, there you need more time. Even in the summertime, you have to give an allowance of 12 months for a person to find another place to go because homes are not as readily available. There's less vacancy, turnover, etc. However, what happens when it comes to commercial space, when it comes to a store? Then, the Mishnah doesn't make a distinction between the smaller cities and the bigger cities. Regardless, it's going to be 12 months, that you need 12 months notice in order to make him leave. Now, it's a little hard to picture why an ear would be the same as a krach as far as commercial space is concerned. You would think that there's more availability and turnover of commercial space in a city. But maybe in their times it was less. I don't know. Okay, Shim Gamliel Mechanush and Achtem Shal Tzavayim Shal Yishanim, that even though you may be able to find other places to rent with 12 months notice, however, there's a different consideration, which because of you're going to need 3 years, and we're going to see in the Gemara that, or maybe Rashi even already tells us that it has to do with the fact that their credit cycle is longer. So therefore, they need time in order to collect from their creditors. Meaning the people that take from them on credit need to be able to come back and pay them. And if you're going to move the store too quickly and people won't know where the store is, they're not going to end up... Yeah, now that's very long. Yeah, so I don't know how people... If you have net 360, right? No 30. I mean, not 360 even. 3 years. 360 months. Zakt Rashi, 36 months. Any achalai tziyai. Says Rashi, Bigmar Mefarish Lo, the Kula Gemara explains all of these. Ubekrachim, Shein Mokam Ashvakim, Shakhil Nimshachim Shom Logur Shom, Vabatim En Mitzuyim Lisker. And the Krach, so Rashi explains that the Krach are the cities where they used to have the marketplaces. So over there, there's more people living, and there's less availability. Interesting. I mean, you know, typically our cycle of commerce where this, I mean, other than once things are concentrated and there's no room for growth, but typically the more people that go and live somewhere, the more expansion there is, the more growth there is, and not necessarily the more availability, but there's more activity. Yeah. Over here it seems to go the other way, that since there's a lot of people going there, but the main mitzuyim liskar. I mean, eventually, even in our society, we come to a point where the demand can you know outpace the supply. But it seemed over there it was a default. You had a village or you had a place. You know, this town had the shuk, so this town was crowded. And you weren't able to easily find a place to live. I would think that, you know, that's an opportunity for a developer. Ubechanuyos, Shechenveni makif hakofes lemakirin. The chenveni, the store owner, extends credit to those that he knows. Vishoyin milashalm lo yomim ramim. They will wait from paying him back for a number of days. Because shemavin lema oisov. And when they'll come to bring his money, they're going to go back to the shop where they took their credit from. If that shop moves, it's almost like the equivalent of picturing a shuk. Meaning, if you were in Israel and you went to the shuk of Machane Yehuda, and there's this one place where every time you come visit, you go and buy apples from him. He's got great apples, nice guy. So you didn't take it on credit, but let's just say on your next visit, you say, oh, I want to go back to that same place. And you come and walk by, and he's not there anymore. Oh, well, you can't find him. You know you're tracing him. So their hakafa seemed to be the same thing. They went to particular peddlers, and that they took things on credit. And when they had the money, whether it was 30 days, 60 days, 12 months, even 3 years, they would come back to that store and pay. So if the store moved, they had no way of following them. Why couldn't they put up a sign? You know, relocate it. It's not reliable enough. They stand to lose too much money.
I wonder how big these towns are. Because I would think in the smaller towns, you're not going to lose track of.
Yeah, I mean, even in a bigger place, there's enough word of mouth that you could probably ask some of the neighbors where they went. I mean, there should be a system. But I guess as far as it being... reliable enough for the tenant not to have a great loss, it wasn't able to be relied upon. They won't know where to find them, so therefore, you can't be mitzi that tenant for 12 months by a store. Now comes Chanusha Nachtoimen v'shal Tzavoyim. When it comes to the baker, Meichri Kikaris, those that sell loaves of bread, v'shal Tzavoyim and the tanner, shal Yishanim, over there it's 3 years, v'gmor mefarish, v'pnei shehek kefim meruba l'zman ara. The reason for that is because their hekef is meruba. They extend credit, excuse me, for a longer period of time, and therefore they need the 3 years to recoup. Now, in the Gemara, this was literally just one line. The Gemara just said, Tano, we learned, v'pnei shehekef meruba. So, I mean, the concept to us is pretty fascinating that you could have credit. Even 12 months of credit is extremely long. You know, how does a person stay in business if he is at a 12-month spread? Unless somebody financed his...
loans.
What's that?
He takes loans.
Yeah? Yeah. Unless someone financed his first year. And then after that, it's just he's always a year behind. But I'll call upon him, these are 3 years, since that was the norm, so that's what you had to give this guy notice, which enables him to enough time to communicate to each of his creditors, to each of the buyers that come in. You know, you're buying this now, you're going to come back to pay me in 36 months. I may not be here anymore because I'm going to be moving somewhere else. Now, even though you don't know where the somewhere else is, just interesting on a technical level, you have to give him 36 months notice to find a place. How long does it take him to find a place? It may take him 12 months. It may take him 6 months. So the people that come in those first 6 to 12 months, what's he telling them? He can't give them his new address yet even.
Right.
But he's able to give them a heads up that you need to come back here and check up on me, so to speak, so I can tell you where I'm going. It's interesting. Very hard for us to relate to with our style of commerce and communication today. Okay, says the Gemara, Maishna Yimeisa Gushamim. The Gemara starts off assuming that when we say that when you rent a person a house for the winter, he stays the whole winter. But if you rent him for the summer, he only gets 30 days. So I don't understand. If Stam Schiris is for the season, so what's the difference between the winter and the summer? That's the Gemara's kasha. We're assuming that it was based on a stamba, that you rent something, it's a seasonal rental. So, what's the difference in the winter? When a person rents a house in the wintertime, he rented it for the whole winter season. So too in the summertime. If a person rented a house, we should assume that he rented it for the whole summer, and therefore, he should be able to stay until the end of the summer. Let's see, Rashi. Gemara assumed means the days of the winter, which means we're assuming that what does this mean? It doesn't mean that a person got into a transaction where you said, could you please rent me a house, and he didn't specify anything, which we would say maybe the stum is 30 days, the stum is 6 months. The Gemara is assuming that the agreement was rent me the house for the winter. So, and that, how do we define winter? Till Pesach. So if someone says, rent me a house for the summer, why is that treated any differently? Summer should reflect the other 6 months. You may say, chama nami, lekuli, you may say, chama agar. It should be rented for the whole summer. Dohali, you may say, chama ko amale. He said to him, you may say, chama, that I want it for you, you may say, chama. Okay, so says the Gemara, Elo, and for the Gemara, on the second line, second word line, Elo, you may say, chama, hainu taima, the leshchiach, besa, lemegar. The reason in the wintertime that you're allowed to stay for the whole winter is because it's not shchiach to find another house to go to. Meaning, we're not, if he would say, rent it to me for the winter, or rent it to me for the summer, if those are the words that he used, then you stay the whole season no matter what, whether it's summer, whether it's winter. But he didn't say that. He said, just rent me a house. Rent me a house, stam, is 30 days. Rent a house to me. So if those 30 days end in the winter, then there's a special din, since it's lo shchiach beis alamegar. So the same thing technically could apply in the summer if it was Leishchiach. But since in the summertime there's more activity, people move, there's things available. So if you say, rent a house to me for 30 days, or rent a house to me stam, the stam is 30 days, after 30 days you leave. So long as it's a time of year where it's normal to find a place to go. In the wintertime you can't find, so therefore we allow you to stay the whole winter. Let's see the next Rashi. We're talking about that he rented it stam without specifying how long he's renting it for. He didn't specify I'm renting it for the season. Vashminan, and what this is coming to tell us is that Secher Stam Shaloi Pirish Zman, if somebody rents without saying Zman, Havi Schirish Shloshim Yoim, Stam Schirus would be Shloshim Yoim. Hilkach, Bimaisa Chamav, he does this any time in the summer, the Shchiach Besa, Shchiach to find other homes to rent, so Mbalo Haitzioi Lashayv Shloshim, if he comes and he wants to ask him to leave at the end of 30 days, Maitzioi. He can ask him to leave at that point. Meisag Shamim, on the other hand, however, in the winter, the loy shchiach beisa, it's not shchiach to find houses to rent. So afagav the loy agri elulam idyoyim, even though stam schirus is for 30 days, eina yochel leitzia. You can't kick him out menachag by the Pesach, the whole winter time from Sukkot to Pesach, because he's not going to find another place to go. Now, does that mean that the seicher gets to live for free? You rented it for 30 days, he pays you 1 month's rent, now he's here till Pesach? Of course not. So, v'chayiv litan le'b'chol chaydish k'schar chaydish harishon. What is the rent for the remaining 4 or 5 months, however long he's going to say? He has to pay him every month k'schar chaydish harishon, like the schar of the first month. The default is that it renews itself, so to speak, at the agreed-upon rate of the first month. Okay, so akoponim, what was the havmin of the Gemara? What's the teretz of the Gemara? The havmin of the Gemara was that if you rented something for a season, we make a distinction between summer and winter. If a guy says, rent it to me for the summer, we throw him out after 30 days. If a guy says, rent it to me for the winter, we let him stay a whole winter. The Gemara didn't understand. What's the difference? The Gemara's teretz is that no, if you specify season, then even in the summer, you would stay a whole summer. We're not talking about what you specified anything. You're maskir stam. So when you're maskir stam, how do we treat it? So maskir stam we look at as a 30-day rental, and therefore in the summertime, when those 30 days end, you tell him thank you and goodbye. In the wintertime, however, because you can't find another place to go, we allow you to stay until Pesach at the same monthly rate. Zokta Gemara Vaita, Eima Seifa. So now how do we touch the rest of the Mishnah? The Mishnah made a distinction between a Stam city and Krochim. So now, Eima Seifa, B'Krochim Echad Yimei Sechama, V'Echad Yimei Sechama, Shnei Masachaydash. The Gemara says that in the Krach, it's 12 months no matter what. Now, 12 months is going to put you back in the same place where you started, same season. It doesn't make a distinction. I mean, let's say you rented a guy, a house in a krach for 30 days, for 6 months, whatever term it was, and that term ended in the winter. So we're saying you have to give him another 12 months. What do you gain by giving him another 12 months? His 12 months are going to be over right in the winter. It's going to come a year later. If his days of schiris finish in the winter, mapikle, you let us send him out. Lemegar is not going to be able to find another place to rent. So if you're telling me that what the Mishnah means is that when you rent stam, you don't throw him out. Krach, 12 months you have to give him, and then you throw him out. How does that make sense? Emphit the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda lehaydiyai katani. When the Mishnah says 30 days or 12 months or 6 months, it doesn't mean that that's how long he stays. It means that's how long of a notice you have to give him. You have to put him on notice that, listen here, it's time for you to start looking for an apartment and finding another place to go. And any time within 12 months that you find a place, leave. I'll let you stay up to 12 months because that's what I have to do. But you're supposed to start looking now and now find a place. V'hachi kamar. And this is the way you explain the Mishnah. Maska bayis lechaver, someone who rents a house to his friend Stam. So ein yochel leitzia b'mayis hagasham mechag vada pesach ella imkein edish leishim yoy meikara. You can't stam schiris is for 30 days. So let's say you rented him in the middle of, let's say you rented him Rishchedesh Tishrei. So a month later is going to be Rishchedesh Cheshvan, which is the beginning of the winter. And now, Rishchedesh Cheshvan, it's already wintertime. He's not going to be able to find a place to go. So if he didn't have advance notice to be able to look for a house in Elul and in Tishrei when there's still activity, then you cannot make him leave until Pesach. Unless he had 30 days notice before the winter. And now we're going to prove from a Braisa that the 30 days and the 12 months means that, because Braisa says, it's as far as Haidah is concerned that the master has to give him notice. Now, you know, something we'd have to clarify is if you rent something to someone, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and you make up specifically for 30 days, right? So what happens now when Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan comes around? He starts saying, oh, I didn't realize I'm going to have to be looking for a house in the winter. You got to give me more time. No, because your whole rental was 30 days. So you had that 30-day notice going into it in the first place. But we're talking about a situation where a person started, let's say, Shavuos time, and he's there month by month, and he's continuing. Or a guy was there for 5 years, and he continues, and now all of a sudden, you decide you want to end this, and guess what? You're not really on a contract, so I'm going to give you 30 days notice, and I'm going to make you leave. But I decide to give you those 30 days notice on Hanukkah. So now you're going to be left a month later, at the end of Teves, looking for a place to go. You're not going to find anywhere. So you have to be Maidia him at least 30 days before the winter starts so that he has time to look at that point. Now what's the 12 months? 12 months in the Krach is because the same way in the wintertime in a regular city, there's limited availability because people aren't moving. In the Krachim, where the demand is that much higher, you don't have adequate supply. So therefore, you have to give him 12 months to look. So
the demand is higher or the supply is lower?
I think the supply is the same and the demand is higher. That's the impression, because it's because the shuk is there, so therefore there's more people living there. So you have to give him that 12 months in order for him to be able to find a place. During the course of 12 months, he's going to look for his place, and whenever he finds it, presumably he's going to be able to leave. Let's see Rashi on this. One Rashi on the Kasha still, Eima Seifa, Bekrochem, Avistam, Skrivis, Yud Beis Chodesh, Vimolu Leihanach, Yud Beis Chodesh, Vimaisek Shem, it seems that he's allowed to leave. So the Gemara answers, he's allowed to throw him out, I should say, and which would be a problem, it's the winter. So Gemara says, no, we don't mean that you stay 12 months and then you're out, or you stay 30 days. It means 30 days notice or 12 months notice. Lehidia katani, Hanach Shleshim Yud Beis Chodesh, Dekatani Bemasnisim, Lehidia ka'amar, it's to notify him. Amaske, Bayis, Lechaveri, Kolu Yimei Eschirus, Meisek Shomim. If the term of Eschirus ends in the winter, Eina Yochel Eitziyai Mishom, De Leishchichi Bati. We can't throw him out at that point because Leishchichi Bati. Unless you gave him 30 days notice in the summertime still, that you're not going to allow him to stay any longer after his contract ends. That the 30 days, meaning when do we consider from the first day of Sukkot? So therefore, 30 days notice is tesvav elo, in middle of elul tzarich le'idia shleishim yayim kaidem achad. And what do we hear from him? If his term ends in the Meisachama, you still need 30 days notice in the summertime. Meaning, our goal is whenever a person's term is over, he needs 30 days of summer days to look. So if your term is up with him in the middle of Tammuz, so you could, unless you could tell him a month before then that guess what, when Tammuz comes, you're out. You, in the middle of Tammuz, you give him now another 30 days until the middle of Av. Because he needs 30 summer days in order to look for a place. What's interesting from here is that you see when you rent someone something for 18 months, there isn't an assumption that after the 18 months he's really going to have to move out.
I know. That's so surprising.
Meaning there's a default here that he's allowed to assume that the contract is going to be extended unless you give him advance notice. And the onus is on the masker, on the landlord. If he wants to throw him out when the contract is over, meaning really what's bothering us is the contract itself should constitute 30 days notice. You have a contract. Your contract says in it that you're up July 15th. What's there to play games about? June, you start looking for a place to go. You didn't give me advance notice. Imagine you borrow money and you have a term of when it's due, and then you come to the guy expects it to be paid when it's due. He didn't give me advance notice. Well, that was the structure of the transaction. It's due back at this time. So same thing here. In a krach, you have to give him 12 months. If you didn't let him know, can't throw him out. He pays at the same rate as the beginning. So now, let's think for a moment of why this is. I mean, we could explain it, that it's apparent from here that their commerce, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because it was less complex than ours, but the default in their system was that you stay longer. Meaning that this is the minimum that I'm committing to rent it to you for, is the 18 months or 36 months. But it doesn't mean you don't have to assume that you're going to be thrown out at that point. So, and then it goes one step further. You're allowed to assume that you're going to stay. Meaning, if we think about residential leases for a minute, I think in your average residential lease, even if you sign a 1, 2, or 3 year lease, the tenant doesn't assume that he's going to be asked to leave at that time. Most tenants will assume that if it's working out, you're going to be able to extend it. And most landlords will, if it's working, will hope that the tenant wants to stay so that they can extend it. We don't go to the extent that now there's a stoma and the onus becomes on the landlord. You didn't tell me you were going to exercise your right after 36 months to tell me to leave. We take a position the other way that I don't have to tell you. After 36 months, you're done unless we say that you can extend. The only difference is that over the year, the stoma was that you stayed.
But today, I mean, we assume you'll get an extension or a new lease, but at a new rate. So, yeah, sure, the landlord will want to rent to you if you can get market rate at that point. Otherwise, you assume you're out.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll give you usually a few months, you know, but
months at the new rate.
We had a few, it was 150% of our old rate.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's actually written into the lease.
You found that afterwards.
No, we knew, but we just couldn't.
You didn't think they were going to throw?
Our new landlord actually paid for it. So, like, okay, well, yeah.
New landlord.
Where we were moving.
Oh, because they weren't ready enough or something?
You know, to cover our.
I see. Now, was 150 necessarily representative of the market rate? No.
No. I mean, it could have been. It probably was about the market rate in that case.
Incidentally.
But even if it wasn't.
Right. I mean, because they made it contractual.
They've got you. They know they got you.
Right.
Usually so, it's 200%, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So the only part that's really different from this Gemara is that there's a stoma that you stay without having to discuss it. Now, at what rate do you stay? That's interesting because we're going to see in a moment that it's at the same rate.
Yeah.
And the onus becomes on the maskir, that Mr. Maskir, if you intended to make me leave so you can get a higher rate, you should have told me in advance. What if to tell you before you have a contract? The stoma is that the contract would roll over. Okay, let's see weiter. Back to the Gemara, little vav. Ukeshem shemaskir tzarech leidiyai, kach seicher tzarech leidiyai. The same way the masker has to notify the seicher that I'm asking you to leave, so too the seicher has to notify the masker. Now, I would almost think there's like a man of shachir. What does that mean? He has to notify him. The amar lei, i'aydasan avatarachna mesim debe inish ma'alya. The masker can have a taina on the seicher that if you didn't give me advance notice, it's your fault that I didn't find an appropriate tenant for right when you're leaving, which basically means that this 30-day window, I mean, it's more than 30 days because if it's in the summertime, it's 30 days. So in the wintertime, it will extend for the duration of the winter. But let's say it's the summertime. Let's go back to Tammuz and Av. His contract was over the beginning of Tammuz. So now, the masker didn't tell the seicher you have to leave. Well, the masker how do these work simultaneously? If the masker doesn't tell the seicher that you have to leave, the seicher has the right to stay another 30 days till Rosh Chodesh Av. Pays him for the regular rate, whatever his rental rate was, and then he has to leave by Av. The other way around, if the seicher intended to leave, but it didn't tell the masker, he's held responsible, because he has to be meidia, the masker, that I'm going to be leaving in 30 days from now. At what point does he have to do that? I don't know. Meaning, if the maskir told him you could stay, so then we assume he's staying unless he comes back and says, I'm not. Is that what that means? That has to give him 30 days notice? Or it means the same way the contract doesn't end Rosh Chodesh Tammuz as far as throwing out the seicher, the other way around also, the maskir's entitled to assume that the seicher is going to continue paying him rent after Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, so he's entitled to a month's rent unless he got notice from the seicher that I'm leaving Rosh Chodesh Tammuz even. I don't know which comes first over here. Pretty interesting. G'shem shemaskir tzarech leidiyai, kach seicher tzarech leidiyai, d'amar lei, i'aydasan, havatarach nemesiv d'mei inish ma'al. If you would have let me know, I would have gotten a good tenant. Okay, weiter. Amar Ravasi, im nichnas yoymechot, b'mais ha'gishamim, einoy yocher lehoitziyoy, menachag ad ha'pesach. Now this is amazing. If one day went into the winter, which means that he finished his term over here, let's say, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, or the day after Sukkos, so now ready, that's it. You can't throw him out until Pesach. He's there the whole season. So what do you mean one day? Wasn't there a 30-day window? Didn't we say that there's a 30-day notice that you have to give him, And if you gave him the 30 days notice, then you're allowed to throw him out.
Uh-huh.
So it's a 30-day period that starts earlier. So Gemara says, you're right. What we mean is if you missed the 30 days by one day, meaning if the 30th day was the beginning of the winter, you have to notify him by Tesva Velo, and you neglected to notify him until Chaf Elo. So now his 30 days finishes Chaf Tishrei. He didn't have a full 30 days to look for a house in Meisachama. You're off by one day or 4 days in Tishrei. So now you're stuck. You got to let him stay until the end of the winter. So Hachi Kamar, Im Nichnas Yem Echad B'Meisach Gesham Im Mehani Shleishim Yayim. If one of those 30 days goes into the winter, so instead of notifying him on Tes Vav Elo, you notify him on Tes Zayin Elo. So now his 30 days finishes Tes Zayin Tishrei. So you're off by one day. You only gave him 29 days notice instead of 30. Eina yochel etzi menachag v'ad ha-Pesach. You can't throw him out menachag v'ad ha-Pesach. Okay, Viter. Now there's a spin on this from Rav Huna. Amar Rav Huna v'imbola harbais b'dameha marbeh. If you want to increase his rate, you're allowed to. What does that mean, Zakrashi? In Ba Balabayas La Harbis Loy Bidmeya Skar, Marbe Mishigi Asmane Yafilu Loy Idea. Excuse me, says Rav Huna, and the Chari Rav Huna is arguing on the previous explanations in the Gemara, and Rav Huna has a chiddush that you have to let him stay, but you don't have to let him stay at his previous rate. So if you did not notify him, right? If he did notify him, it's not a chiddush. If you notified him the 30 days in the summer, and he didn't leave before the middle of Tishrei, now he opts to stay after the 30 days even, so then you can tell him, listen, you're welcome to stay, but I'm charging you market rate. You know, the rate we had was some 36 months ago. Today's rates are higher. I'm going to charge you what today's rates are. Rav Huna is saying that even if you did not notify him, his contract expired after 36 months. You didn't give him 30 days notice, so he didn't have 30 summer days to look. It's the winter time. He has one on you that he's allowed to stay until Pesach. However, don't worry about it. You're allowed to charge him for it. Now, we can understand that in Svara, meaning because the way we look at a contract. Meaning the contract means you were done at 36 months. So it's nice if I let you know in advance so you can look for, you know, some look in the summer. I don't know why I have to let you know, but let's say I have to. Okay, but if I didn't, I could still charge you the full price. The problem is that how does this drive with the previous Gemara? I mean, the Gemara's approach was that the contract automatically renews, so to speak. Right? So without 30 days notice, he keeps going. You have to let him know that you're throwing him out, and he has to let you know if he's going to be leaving. So here we're saying you're right, you have to let him know, but that doesn't mean you have to give it to him for free. So then what's the nafkamina? The relevance is simply if you don't like him anymore. You know, you can get the higher rate out of him. And I'm assuming your higher rate would be as high as you can get out of a new tenant. Unless you're dreaming that, you know, even though market rate is X, I'll be able to get a new tenant X plus. But, you know, I don't know if we'd be coming La Fouquet that. So what's the difference then? You think you can get a better tenant? Someone who will pay you cash? Someone who will have lighter usage? Someone whose smile you like better. I mean, you know, whatever differences there may be. We saw before that sometimes you can be living next door yourself, upstairs, downstairs. So, of course, there's a difference in a tenant. But Al Kapanim, he may be able to stay, but you're allowed to make him pay the going rate. Now, is this subject to Machlekes? Is this Rav Huna v'mbala harbis b'demeh marbe? I'm assuming it is, right? So let's see what it was Rav Nachman say. Amalei Rav Nachman. Hailin kite b'kuvsei delishvike leglima. Okay, so the Gemara is saying that now I don't understand. Essentially, what you're doing is you're really holding him by the neck, and you're charging him more and allowing him to stay. Is that a grace of teva? Meaning, I don't understand you, Rav Huna. What's the whole chiddush of this Mishnah? The Mishnah comes along, says a very nice din that if it's up in the winter time, you have to give him notice. You didn't give him notice; he's allowed to stay a whole season. You didn't give him notice; he's allowed to stay at a premium. That's not cool, letting him stay. So I don't understand you. Or I think the Gemara, let's see Rashi. Which is pretty fascinating, by the way, for the Gemara to use such a lashon. It's as if you're really strangling him, and the lashon kufsei. What does kufsei mean? It's a type of a sack. So the Gemara is using what you would think is slang. You're grabbing him and holding him in a stronghold, until he leaves his shirt, so to speak. He's got to take the shirt off his back. That's no good. You're charging him 200% rent. That counts. That's called Mr. Nice Guy. That's called letting him stay. That's another way of chasing him out. I'm not making you leave. I'm just telling you, you have to stop paying me an extra $5,000 a month. That's ridiculous. Of course you're making him leave.
But not if it's the market. Not if it's market rate.
So it seems like the Havamina... I'm sorry?
If you're a 10, if you're that 10, you're
and you have nowhere to go...
At market rate.
At market rate, right. Doesn't seem like the Havamina, it seems like Afuna says that you're allowed to just up it. From Bola Harbis for the Meh Marbe. I don't know what the ceiling would be, but you're allowed to. To which the Gemara answers, your teretz leitzricha de yakar bati. The Gemara's answer is that Rav Huna said his din where the prices went up, so you're charging him the new market rate. So that's when we say this. I mean, because otherwise, really, Rav Huna says you're right. Of course, it doesn't make sense to say a guy can stay and you could charge him whatever you want. But what it means is that he doesn't have the luxury of paying his original contract rate from 2 or 3 years ago, which may be lower than today's rate. Rav Huna says you're allowed to charge him. So Rav Nachman felt that you're abusing him and you're just throwing him out in a different fashion, that instead of telling him he has to leave, what you're saying is stay but pay me double. Gemara answers, no, that's not what it means. Rav Huna never gave you a license for that. Rav Huna just gave you a license to charge the new rate. Today's market rate, you're allowed to charge, meaning you may have to let him stay, but you don't have to let him stay and give it away at what it used to be. So really, Rav Huna waters down, so to speak, the chiddush of this Gemara for us, and now we're a little confused at how you look at this contract. Meaning, on the one hand, we say that the default position of the contract is that even though the term is up, you have to give him advance notice that you expect him to leave, because otherwise he's allowed to stay. And if you didn't give him those 30 days of summer notice, he's allowed to stay until the next summer, right? Whatever that would be, or another 30 days if it's the summer now, but if it's winter, until the next summer. However, says Rav Huna, he's allowed to stay, but he has to pay you the going rate. So the extent of the chiddush then is that even though you're getting your market rate, you'd rather have a different tenant. We say no, that's not menschlich. You didn't give him time to find himself a place to live. Therefore, you have to let him stay. And again, let's go back to the other case, the other way around. The same way that the seicher also has to be medea the masker. How would we learn that case? I wonder if he's allowed to pay less rent, if the rates went down. The seicher has a responsibility to medea the masker 30 days notice as well that he plans on leaving. So let's say his contract is up with Shchedish Tammuz. So you have to let him know in advance, a month before that, in Shchedish Sivan, that you're... Mr. Landlord, by the way, you know, our 36 months is coming to an end in a month from now. I do plan on leaving at that time. So the landlord says, okay, l'chaim l'shom, it's been very nice. But let's say he doesn't give him that advance notice. So now it sounds like there's another 30 days that is the tenant's responsibility. That same 30 days, because you didn't give him time to find another tenant. Now, so would Rav Huna say over there also that if the prices went down, you're right, you have to pay him another month's rent, but you don't have to pay your contract rate. You can pay at the current rate. Meaning the same way we allow the landlord to raise it to the current rate, maybe you're allowed to lower it to the current rate. So if, for argument's sake, you rented this house at $2,500 a month, and now 3 years later, the market's doing poorly, and it's worth $2,000 a month, do you have a right to pay him that $2,000 instead of the $2,500 if you neglected to give 30 days notice? I wonder. But I would think the logic would go both ways of Rav Huna. I don't really understand why Rav Huna takes it that way, but to the extent he says that the contract is not binding in that sense and, you know, it's a courtesy or whatever, so I would think maybe it would be the same.
Makes sense, because in that case, the renter's kind of getting the short end of the stick. He really, the lease is over, but he's got to pay an extra month, so...
We'd be lenient. It's nice to be that way. But if he neglected to notify him, then I can hear that we have to charge him full price. I mean, if the contract term doesn't mean much, it's like a recommendation of sorts, you know. But like, you're supposed to, the same way you're allowed to hold him to it the other way. Okay, we can go either way on that. Okay, let's go through. I don't know if we should go through the next Gemara because. We technically did it. Let's glance at the Shulchan Aruch. Siman Shin Yud Beis, which is towards the end of the booklet, I believe. It is Shulchan Aruch Shin Yud Beis Siv Zayin. It's like 3 pages before the end. Looks like this. I think it's on the back of the page, a few before the end. You got it? I think you're at the tour. It doesn't have one on this particular page. No, so look for one without a page number. It's 3 pages before the end of the book. Excuse me. Kishem shamasker chayev loidiyoi, the same way the masker has to notify the seicher that he's got to get out in 30 days. So too the seicher has to notify the masker 30 days in advance in a city. Or in the krach where there's less things available for people. So there we'll switch it to 12 months. That he should be able to find a neighbor and his house should not remain vacant. If he did not notify him, if he didn't give him the 30 days of appropriate notice, then he cannot be mitzi him. Rather, Elo, he has to let him stay and he pays rent. Now this is interesting. The Ramah points out that there's another Eitzah here, meaning if, let's say, the Seicher wants to find them a tenant. I mean, the landlord says, I can't work so quickly. I need time. You didn't give me notice here. I didn't realize you were leaving. And I don't have another tenant lined up. You have to pay me for another 30 days or even 5 months if it's the winter. Right? If it went into the winter, it could be a whole winter now. He's got to pay him for another 5-6 months. So the Seicher could tell the Masker, no problem. I understand you don't want a vacancy. I'll bring you a tenant. So does that now pater the Seicher, or the Masker could be obnoxious? Meaning, I don't know why we would allow the Masker to be obnoxious. It almost sounds like, midas time. But can the Seicher get his way out? So the Ramah says, yes, Yamad le'achar b'mekaymai, the Seicher could bring another tenant to take him over for those winter months, and then he's able to leave. Meaning it's not a sentence that he must stay. Now, the case where... Meaning the Seicher was supposed to notify the Masker, and the Masker was supposed to have 30-some days to find a tenant, and he didn't. So now the Seicher has to stay and pay, but he can put someone else there instead of him and let that person play. However, now this already is subjective. If he wants to put someone in there who's not Hagun, what does that mean? That means the Seicher finds a friend of his to take this over, and he brings him and introduces him to the Masker. The Masker says, I don't like him. So now what happens? So it seems to be at the Masker's discretion. The Masker doesn't have to accept whoever the Seicher brings along. And I think that's understandable, meaning to the extent the onus was on the Seicher, and the Seicher didn't give advanced summertime notice that he planned on leaving, and that was considered his responsibility, so now he's got to stick it out and rough it until the end of the winter. If he comes along and finds a replacement, okay, if it works, we'll let you put someone else in, but if it doesn't work for the Masker, now I assume that this is within reason. If the Masker is being totally unreasonable, I don't like the guy's nose, and therefore, even though his same family size and his credit is good, and he's going to pay on time, and maybe even the Seicher takes responsibility, I don't know. I don't know if the Seicher has to. That would come at an interesting shaila, but we probably make the Masker be reasonable. That's what I would assume, if it's for no good reason. And what happens if the Seicher's credit is not as good as the Masker, and they didn't realize it? I mean, the Masker could say, I don't trust him. He's got a bad track record. I spoke to his landlord. Or I ran a credit check on him, and he's got a score of 500. I'm not getting involved with him. But let's say technically everything checks out, and he starts, and he doesn't pay. What happens 2 months in? Is the original Seicher financially responsible? Or not? You would say not? I would say yes. Yeah. Meaning, the vacancy is the Seicher's responsibility. It's the equivalent of a vacancy. It's worse than a vacancy. He's using it now. I'm not getting... Let's say it is. Meaning, any time during those 6 months, if this new Seicher doesn't end up paying the full fare for the 6 months... through the winter, let's say. Yeah. I mean, in the summertime, it's only a 30-day period. You could still have the same problem. It could be a $5,000 rent, you know. That it's his problem? No, not after 2 months. No. 30 days would be the extent of his problem in the summer. Meaning during the period that's his responsibility, not long term. Because long term, the mosque can tell the seicha, you got to move out. Listen, you know, that if it's during the duration that was his responsibility, right? Right, because the seicher, the fact that the seicher neglected to give notice to the maskir makes it that it's the seicher's problem to stay until Pesach. And the seicher says, okay, listen, don't worry about the vacancy, don't worry about not getting money, I'll bring you someone else. And then you bring someone else and someone doesn't pay. Sorry, the seicher's got to cough it up. That's what I would think. Well, only maskim by the looks. Yeah, okay. But yeah. But I could still hear that it's the seicher's headache. Meaning, why should the seicher be able to get himself off the hook by bringing something that looked pretty? It looked right, but it wasn't right. I mean, the fact is, unless you could argue that listen, when a masker does his own diligence, he may end up in the same place as well.
It's like ended up that way with me. I mean, there's
right.
Not paying my rent.
Right, you're saying.
Come on, hard time.
Uh-huh. You're saying the same seicher even. He was there for 36 months as a good tenant. I don't know.
He accepted him.
Right. I hear. I mean, okay. So let's take a simpler case. If the masker tells the seicher that, listen, I'll vet him, and if it looks okay, I'll do it, but on condition that you're responsible. So then, for sure, the seicher is going to remain responsible. But if he didn't say that, can we go by the vetting process and say, listen, you agreed, so now it's your problem? Interesting question.
And that's what.